Omar Jobo Rustavelli Avenue. This is Spielpot.com coming to you from our studios high atop Tbilisi's picturesque Rustavelli Avenue. Today is Thursday, the 14th of February, 2013, Valentine's Day. On this day in 278, St. Valentine was beaten and beheaded. Not a very nice thing to do on Valentine's Day, particularly to a guy named Valentine. 1852, Great Ormond Hospital in London is open, first children's hospital in the world. 1855, Texas is linked by telegraph to the rest of the United States. It all started then. 1920, the League of Women Voters is founded in Chicago. In 1929, penicillin is discovered by mistake by Alexander Fleming on the very same day of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Also in Chicago. I mean, also with the League of Women Voters, not the invention of
penicillin.
Discovery. Okay. Yeah, anyway. 1945, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt meets with King Ibn Saud of Saudi Arabia aboard the USS Quincy, officially starting the U.S.-Saudi diplomatic relations, culminating when a plane load of Osama bin Laden's relatives are flown out right after the September 11th attack of the United States to keep them safe. Anyway, 1956, the 20th Congress of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union begins in Moscow. On the last night of the meeting, Premier Khrushchev condemns Stalin's crimes in a secret speech. In 1977, the B-52s play their first gig at a house party in Athens, Georgia. 1979, in Kabul, militants kidnap the American ambassador to Afghanistan, Adolphus Dubs, who is later killed in a gunfight between his kidnappers and police. 1989, Iranian leader Ruhollah Khomeini issues a fatwa encouraging Muslims to kill author Salman Rushdie. In 2005, Rafiq Hariri is killed in Lebanon. Birthdays today are Thomas Malthus, the economics popularizer of the idea of rents, the economist popularizer of the idea of rents, Frederick Douglass, who's very much worth reading. He advised Lincoln on how to deal with black soldiers during the American Civil War. For those who've seen the recent movie, and Sakichi Toyota, founder of Honda. Just kidding. We are Cameron Christensen, Matthias Hooter, and me, Mark Mullen. Nothing we say can be connected with any of our employers, past, present, or future. Thanks again to those for posting on our forum. Definitely check out the English version of the now famous Chinese investment video. Thanks to Simon for putting that up.
Love all the photos of the old government.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, hey, be my buddy Mono.
Yeah, exactly. We're in tight with all the dudes, you know, that are no longer so much the dudes. There's some great information on Teach and Learn Georgia, which I highly recommend everyone check out who has an interest in that that program. Short version is that the program has been cut from about 450 to 160 volunteers, as well as staff has been cut at the Ministry of Education. We'd be interested in talking to the person who posted it, so if you could send us an email at tbilpod@gmail.com, we would appreciate it. And from Anuki Geladze. I suspect a pseudonym, although I have no idea. Anyway, after some stuff about her crush on Will Dunbar, Anuki says, "Dear Podsters, discuss, quote, how to finish a revolution, civil society and democracy in Georgia, Moldova, and Ukraine," end quote, by Arisa Lutsevich. Huh?
Odysseia Lutsevich.
Exactly. One of the topics is, quote, many large Western donors who invest substantial resources in strengthening civil society often support NGO patronage networks and sustain a gap between a few well-established groups and active citizens, end quote. It can be downloaded from Chatham House, or the link is on our forum. I'm not a big report guy, but this is a really good report on the, air quotes, state of civil society in Georgia. And then we also have a post from Kaiser Suze, who is back with snarky comments about how we speak and talk.
Regarding Odysseia's thing, I actually listened to her present that at the European Foundation Network in Sarajevo. And I don't know, I mean, there's maybe some valid points to it, but I would also look at the methodology that she uses when you're analyzing the findings that she has. This is not new information, frankly, you know, that like the large donors are supporting those local NGOs that have capacity, and those local NGOs aren't necessarily ones that are membership based. And then I would highly I would question in some ways this term of active citizens, because I'm not sure in which way the commenter meant these people are being active politically or civically, for example.
Well, I mean, I understand, you know, that there could be some granting and re-granting organizations that could have issues with that, or that maybe in that field there's a lot of people talking about that. But I don't really read that many reports, and I haven't seen that said a whole lot. I mean, I think that, you know, certainly it's been discussed a lot among NGO people, but, I mean, in official reports from major organizations saying this is a problem, I'm not sure. It doesn't really say much about what to do about that, you know, which is another question. But yeah, I don't know. Take a look at the report, and we'll post it up on the site. And if anybody has any other reports that you think are interesting that address that issue, feel free to put them up there.
Well, I think the second question, though, as a follow-up, would be NGO sustainability. And if you're going to talk about, you know, big donors are funding the same organizations over and over, are they offering alternatives for these big NGOs to find ways to, you know, have fee-for-services, for example? I mean, how many NGOs in Georgia or in Ukraine or what was the other place?
I mean, have
fee-for-services. And, you know, how many people within these countries are able to pay for those fees? I mean, what are the alternatives? Do they want to take state money? I mean, do you want to take state money in Georgia, for example?
Well, I don't know that the sustainability issue is really what I thought was the most interesting part about the report. I mean, I think that the sustainability argument with NGOs is not so interesting, because when the donors stop, they will stop, and that's okay. There's nothing necessarily, you know, so bad about that. I mean, the donors themselves are not particularly sustainable either, since they rely also on donor funds. I thought the more interesting part was about the disconnect between the population and the NGOs themselves. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. My Georgian Journal and Kafidis Palitra article this week is about winners and losers, and how I'm not sure that the Nationals or Dreamers have really understood these elections that just happened. Actually, not just, but a few months ago. Nationalists need to understand why they lost, and they need to consider stop ticking people off. The Dreamers need to stop spending all their time and effort tormenting the Nationals and to start fixing things. What we need now is leadership that unifies, and nobody seems to be doing very much of that. So, after the parliamentary majority refused to allow the president to address the parliament on Friday, Misha decided to make his annual address to the nation from the National Library in Tbilisi, which you've all heard about. Unless you live under a rock or somewhere other than Georgia.
And which is technically a part of the parliament administration.
Right. It's actually the National Parliamentary Library and the, you know, model of the Library of Congress in the U.S. Prime Minister Bettina Ivanishvili made the following statement regarding this decision. Quote, Misha did not go to the parliament. He went to the library, but not for reading. Misha's not a reader, and he is not a writer. Misha is a speaker. End quote. Several hundred opponents of Misha, a lot of them convicts released last month because of the amnesty law, as well as the odd Orthodox parent, blocked the central entrance to the library. Brooms were attached to the doors, and photos of riot police beating up protesters in 2007 and 11 were placed around the main entrance. MP Chiyoda Taktakashvili, Tbilisi Mayor Gigi Ugulava, and several other UNM supporters were punched by the crowd when they attempted to enter the building.
They also, by the way, from people who were watching it from a nearby building, incited the crowd themselves.
Incited how? Also by punching them, or
no?
By
so Gigi came through and was like kind of cheering to the crowd and said, "Like now, like, let's put on a show, guys."
Yeah, Gigi seems to clearly have been involved in got a little too excited and you know, to the point of certainly incitement. I don't know that Chiyoda was necessarily inciting anybody from what I've heard. I mean, the other thing was that the police didn't really do a whole lot about this, at least according to the people that I spoke to who were there.
Well, and let's remember that we applauded the police when they didn't do that much, when they had all of Rustaveli blocked with their cells, and how criticized the police were in 2007 when they decided on November 7th to crack down on protesters. And I think essentially what the UNM was trying to do was incite some sort of, violence in between the protesters as well as the police, and I don't think that they managed to succeed in that.
Well, except that the problem was, I mean, it was the president and the mayor. I mean, it wasn't a group of protesters. I mean, in 2011, May, the people that were there were protesters with sticks, as opposed to, you know, a significant portion of the political leadership of, you know, the minority.
Yeah, but you also used the word convicts, and you said that convicts were standing outside the National Library. I mean, are these people that were there on legitimate charges, or are those people who spent, you know, let's say 8 or 9 years in prison because they were framed or because they made a plea bargain? I mean,
like almost everybody that was in prison under Saakashvili was there under a plea bargain, which means they never had their day in court, which means we have absolutely no idea. And it's a safe assumption that the overwhelming majority of them were unfairly imprisoned. But, you know, what does that mean? Are you saying that, you know, that therefore members of parliament getting beaten because there were by people that, you know, were unfairly thrown in jail is justified? I mean, what does that mean? I mean,
no, that's not what I'm saying at all. Of course, what I'm saying is that I understand the idea of rule of law. I also understand human emotion, and I have a very strong ability to put myself in the position of someone who spent 8 years rotting away in jail and had their case go to the European Court of Human Rights and was just fighting and, you know, fighting and fighting to get released for something that they'd essentially been framed for. And then put yourself in the position where someone is essentially trying to give a speech in a very tight location and you have the opportunity to go there. And they're also given, if someone tried to write to me and say that there were actually no other alternative routes to enter that building, and you know what? Fine. They're not Lady Gaga and they shouldn't be, you know, like forced to hide through their own city. But if they wanted to give a speech to the parliament and of all of the, you know, the non-UNM parliamentarians that were going to show up to the president's speech, then, you know, you had alternatives to give that speech.
Yeah, which is the parliament, which is where it was mandated in the Constitution, where they were not allowed to go and where they would have spoken if they had not been prevented
from
doing
it. But they said temporarily. I mean, it wasn't you can never...
Temporarily until they pass constitutional amendments that they do not necessarily have the votes for. So who knows when that's going to happen. In any case, moving on, Interior Ministry, Minister Irakli Kharibashvili arrived at the scene after the clash where the crowd applauded him. He said that both the initiators and the provocation and those who committed the violence will be held accountable. Ulava and the other UNM people were summoned to the questioning as a witness with regards to the 8th of February developments, but they refused to go. On Saturday, Kharibashvili said in a statement that members of UNM provoked the incident by refusing to walk through the two safety corridors the police had made for them to enter the side of the building. Instead, they walked towards the main entrance through the crowd, provoking the crowd's aggression. MP Tiniko Khidasheli thanked Kharibashvili for not dispersing the crowd and instead calming the protesters. Misha ended up giving his speech from the presidential residence, where he said that as the leader of Georgia, he shares responsibility for the events and he apologizes to the diplomatic corps. Misha said that the parliamentary majority used the language of ultimatum when they refused to listen to him in the parliament building. He said, quote, "I was going to go to the parliament. They would ask me critical questions. They would harshly criticize me, but I would listen to it since this is a democracy." However, unexpectedly, they said that the president's speech was put off and this had the form of an ultimatum, end quote. Misha suggested that the Friday incident will have a serious impact on Georgia's path to Europe. He declared, "I want to tell the parliamentary speaker who called on me not to leave my place. Nobody can lock me in this palace or in a bunker. This is a glass palace and it does not have a bunker." I bet it does have a bunker, actually.
Yeah.
The person accused of punching opposition MP Chioda Takakashvili in the face was put, which is all on camera, it's pretty clear who it was put into preliminary detention facility and subsequently released on 2,000 lari bail. Melor Vachnadze and Mikhail Meshi, who were involved in the scuffle, were arrested later in the evening but were also released on bail. On Sunday, the Georgian Patriarch, Ilya II, said in his sermon that the events which took place ahead of the president's speech were unfortunate, but he stressed, quote, "Don't be afraid of these recent events. All this will pass and Georgia will be in peace," end quote. Misha and BI both denounced the violence and said that they want to find a way for their uneasy political partnership to work. BI said in a statement, quote, "I am willing to maintain relations with the president and his political team," end quote. He pledged that the participants and the instigators of the attack will be identified and punished. Misha responded by offering to start talks as soon as possible to ensure a peaceful cohabitation. On Monday, Misha and Georgian Parliamentary Speaker Dato Usupashvili met to discuss the country's urgent problems. Dato Bakradze, head of the parliamentary majority, former speaker, also attended the meeting. Usupashvili said, quote, "So far, we haven't reached agreement on all issues that we discussed, but this dialogue cannot be called unpromising," end quote. Misha commented, quote, "I am ready to continue the dialogue to break the stalemate," end quote. He called on BI to join the dialogue. In general, my impression was that Misha was far more antagonistic of the two, with Usupashvili being much calmer during that that press conference. I mean, I have to say, you know, this was just not a good thing in general. It's hard to know who, you know, who to blame. But in general, there's just too much blame in general going around here. I mean, it shouldn't have happened. The police should have been a little bit more organized there. I think that the Otsneva people are a little too okay with, you know, with what happened there. And clearly, on camera, Ugulava was behaving in an inappropriate manner designed to stir up the crew. But, you know, it's predictable that they would try and stir up the crew, because I think the national movement's greatest fear right now is that they're just not in the news anymore. And there's a lot of good things that, you know, the new government is doing that are being completely lost within the, you know, the fighting that I think they're... It's not that they're necessarily encouraging the fighting, but they're spending so much time talking about how horrible Misha is instead of, you know, where they're taking the country and whatever else. And meanwhile, I'm getting a little tired of hearing Misha talk about, like, every single thing that goes wrong in Georgia is somehow compromising Georgia's, you know, relations with Europe, when, in fact, the human rights violations going on during the regime were compromising Georgia's relationship with Europe as much as anything.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it's also that, you know, international media coverage only focuses on these things about Georgia, and it's often not very well informed and kind of superficial. And so if you follow Europe as follow Georgia based in Europe, you get, I think, a very distorted picture.
In the sense that the UNM still has a very powerful kind of lobby and image internationally, and I think, you know, I mean, I recently had a Georgian ask me, you know, to what extent do you think that the international community actually understands what's going on here? Because when we look at international coverage of what's going on in Georgia, we feel that it doesn't reflect accurately what's happening here.
It's a communication issue of the new government, I think. They're not able to get the good message out that Misha's people were so good in doing, like, to just, you know, explain everything problematic that happens and then send four good messages why Georgia is doing great.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Happening. I mean, I definitely think that things... The people outside think that things are much more drastic than the feeling is inside the country. I mean, I think a good start would be for somebody to tell Bettina Ivanishvili to stop it with the 3-hour press conferences off the cuff, you know, and just, you know, stick to, you know, whatever the message. I mean, I don't really know what the message is. Like, I'm not sure. I know what the national movement's message is, and I think that they think about that and discuss that. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the new government's message is, other than the fact that they really don't like the old government, you know, which, I mean, okay, you know, month, two, maybe three, but, you know, maybe time to move on from that. Yesterday, Koba Davidashvili, representative of the parliamentary majority, and Sergo Ratiani, representative of the parliamentary minority, and a professor at Ilia Uni.
Chancellor.
He is the chancellor?
He's the chancellor.
Wow. Got into a fist fight during Maestro's... I mean, I wouldn't really say fist fight. Punch was thrown punch. During Maestro TV's live airing of the talk show Argumenti, aptly named. The scuffle began after Davidashvili said to Ratiani, quote, "Let me know the next time you all gather and I'll come and beat you all up."
And then go to jail, he said.
Right.
Yeah.
He then told Ratiani that he is not a man, that he's a murderer and a bastard, at which point Ratiani broke his cup in protest and got up to leave the studio. And Davidashvili
He did not get up to leave the studio. He got up to do something.
Ratiani?
Yeah, he got Koba up and got stood up there. First. No. He threw his glass and stood up. We watched it like 10 times last night because I wanted to hear exactly what Davidashvili said in order to make him smash his glass at the woman who was in the middle of them, by the way, and make him stand up. And then Usupashvili came up and
Usupashvili?
Usupashvili. Davidashvili came up and Ratiani was like, Gadi, like, get out of here. And then Ratiani pushed him, and then Davidashvili managed to land a punch. And then they both got taken out.
Okay. All right. Well, you watched it more carefully than I did because, I mean, because Davitashvili moved across the room to him. I mean, I saw, you know, behind the presenter.
Yeah.
I mean, I
he did,
viewed that as the more antagonistic act. But
I mean, suppose the throwing the glass and breaking the glass on the table?
I mean, oh, yeah. Okay. But Davitashvili, I mean, his comments the entire time were just so, you know, antagonistic.
Was
it was, I mean, the entire time, the whole show was just that it was, you know, that it was his point was to get Ratiani all ticked off, which, you know, he did. Ratiani breaking the, you know, the cup was a little ridiculous, you know.
But Davitashvili, he was, like, kidnapped a couple of times, right?
He was kidnapped during 2007, during the November 2007 protests, and was found in a Gori hospital. But he's got a long political history.
Yeah, but, I mean, he was one of the very earliest people with Misha, you know, and Vano Medvedevashvili, and, you know, whenever that was, I don't know, 2000 or something like that.
And then he was charged with kind of like trying to sell parliamentary seats, and they had that undercover video, and then, I don't know, nothing was really followed up with that, but...
Anyway, later Ratiani apologized to the public for the incident. MP Tinico Chidashelli, ever one to pipe in with a useful comment, called the controversy shameful. On February 13th, Misha received a cold welcome in the village of Narazeni, where protesters pelted his car with eggs. Kaja Mikaya, an activist of the public movement Protect Georgia, said that the president was supposed to meet locals at the cultural house in the village, and the group wanted to go on protest, but Misha changed the venue of the meeting and held it in someone's house.
Do you remember when Soros came and his car got pelted with eggs, too? It was back in, like, 2004 or 5.
Oh, wow. Prosecutor's office dropped the fourth and final charge against Defense Minister Irakli Okroshvili. This one was for negligence.
Really? I didn't hear that.
Yeah. After the trial, Okroshvili demanded a public apology for Misha and added that he may return to politics. Yeah, I mean, I don't... Okay, I didn't follow this case closely. It would be interesting to, you know, talk to some people who did, and we'll see if we can do that. But it's really amazing that they could not find anything on Okroshvili, considering... You know, the other people that they're...
I'm sure they had tons of stuff on Okroshvili. The
exactly.
problem is that they're going to compromise themselves all the way throughout.
Yeah, but that's still a problem with rule of law, right? sometimes you have to do something against somebody that might be on your team.
I mean, one of the most impressive things was how Okroshvili, when he was Minister of Defense, had that, you know, group of trust, which was the four parliamentarians, one of which I'm pretty sure was Giga Bolkedia. And Giga Bolkedia is still in his position, right? I mean, still sitting pretty, right?
So, no, but we're talking about now prosecutors for the Otsneba government, you know, so whoever was prosecuting Okroshvili, they've got nothing to lose by getting him, and they've certainly got a lot of data about what he did. I mean, I absolutely understand why the national movement would not prosecute him, and they never did. They just got him out of the country. But, I mean, that's what I was surprised about.
Yeah, that's true. I've been pondering what Okroshvili is actually going to do now. I mean,
he'll go into politics.
Besides politics,
chomping on cigars,
nothing.
And, you know, and, yeah.
Maybe he still has his Panamanian offshore entity on his name. I mean,
right.
It's like he could run that Georgian trade.
The Tbilisi City Court granted 25,000 lari bail to Guram Donadze, former head of the press service of the Interior Ministry. On Saturday, he was detained at the Tbilisi airport. Donadze confirmed that on November 24, 2004, he was at Buta Robachidze's murder scene. Donadze was charged with abuse of professional power and faces 5 to 8 years in prison. He's accused of ordering a cameraman from Rustavi 2 for a TV show about the patrol police to record weapons planted at the scene that had not actually been there. He said he's going to cooperate with the investigation.
That was a big thing at the time, and I think everybody knew what was going on as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that happens a lot. Tons of weapons on the scene. And so that'll be interesting to see how justice is served there. Prosecutor's office called in both the former Prime Minister, Vano Medvedevashvili, and former Health Minister and current Governor of Kakheti Region, Zura Chiabedashvili, who used to be Minister of Health for... Oh, sorry.
Used to be the Mayor of Tbilisi.
Used to be Mayor of Tbilisi. Before that, he was head of the Electoral Commission. Before that, he was head of ISFED before the 2003 elections. The case deals with the July 2012 Job Seekers Registration Program. The program sought to register job seekers living in Georgia to create a database. Despite their not doing any work, 21,837 people received 250 lotti in September 2012, just before the elections, a total of 5.2 million lotti of state funds. Both Vano and Chiabetashvili said that the interrogations are part of the government's campaign aimed at intimidating the opposition.
I'm wondering who the 21,000 people were that kind of were the lucky ones.
Gosh, I
won 150 lari.
But we criticized this at the time. I mean, because it was obviously like an opportunity for the UNM to get, you know, face-to-face interaction with people. So either they were giving money directly to people to do nothing, or they gave money to people to actually go around from house to house and just, you know, be UNM advocates.
Yeah, hard to know, but it is surely, you know, it had nothing to do with employment and was just cash transfers before the election. The General Inspection of the Ministry of Internal Affairs is conducting an investigation into high-ranking officials' abuse of power at the ministry. The investigation indicates that Bachua Khalaya, while he was at the ministry, learned that seven police officers were in favor of Georgian Dream. For this reason, Akhalaya ordered high-ranking officials, including Dato Vekua Mamuka Abushidze and Dato Chubinidze, to physically abuse, humiliate, and torture the seven officers. The allegations of what they had to go through are pretty bad. The investigative service of the Georgian Finance Ministry has started an examination into former Member of Parliament Giotor Ladze, director of the Georgian Deoccupation Center. According to the investigation, Tordladze was given a very swanky car by the government for no real reason and against the law. It cost $60,000, and then he sold it for $50,000. That was something that was set up right after 2008.
That's a good businessman right there.
Absolutely. Very clever.
Even
despite the oxygen deprivation of all of his mountaineering. You know, for a while, every year he'd like go on some high mountain and plant some flag and say, this is, you know, the flag of Georgia in support of, I don't know. According to the prison ministry, a month after the amnesty went into effect, the number of prisoners decreased from 19,330 to 12,175. According to current data, 7,025 inmates have left the penitentiary facilities because of the amnesty. 175 of them were political prisoners, 227 women, and 17 teenagers. Of course, there were also some presidential pardons.
NORLAG is actually doing a study on prison conditions, which I think, I don't know if it will eventually be public, but the Norwegian legal advice something, and it will be quite interesting to see what they come up with.
Yeah, I think the big challenge with this amnesty, if you release 7,000 people, in the same week, basically, many people who might have been in prison, you know, without a fair trial, many people who might have, you know, been subject to abuse, and who come out now have no, you know, maybe not much of a support network, certainly not from the government, no job opportunities. That's going to be a very difficult thing for the country to absorb.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's certainly anecdotally, the crime rate is on the rise. The government is denying that. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it has anything to do with those prisoners, although it may. There does seem to be more crime going on. Pardon Commission passed 102 conviction recommendations on to Misha Elena Tevtoradze. The chair of the commission said that they reviewed over 500 applications from prisoners. The commission doesn't include any representatives from the government or parliament. For the first time, a representative of the patriarch became a member.
I think they were the members before. I've heard that before, that the patriarch, no?
I don't think so.
That they were kind of on the pardoning commission.
I'm not sure, but I don't think so.
Okay.
BI signed a decree supporting appointing Minister of Education Gheorghe Margvelashvili as the first vice prime minister. This position has been vacant since BI removed Defense Minister Irakli Alasania from the post. Margvelashvili said that the prime minister will personally determine his functions in this new role. The 2008 law criminalizing entry into Abkhazia and South Ossetia from Russia is up for debate in Parliament. Reintegration Minister Pata Zakharashvili said that the proposal will make the first entry from Russia into Abkhazia or South Ossetia an administrative offense subject to a fine instead of a criminal offense subject to a prison sentence.
The other news on the street is that they're apparently going to institute a visa regime that you can get a tourist visa for $20 at the ABL, at the Inguri. for people who are entering from Georgian-controlled territory from the south into Abkhazia.
So the Abkhaz are going to do that.
Right.
So you can just go in there a lot more easily than
right,
you ever
as
did.
Opposed to now where you have to apply to the de facto Ministry of Foreign Affairs and then wait for them to kind of approve your
And is that whatever. For Georgian passport holders? Or is that for non, you know, what, who are we talking about
I think
here?
People with Georgian passport holders are already passing back and forth. There obviously is a huge Mingrelian population that lives in eastern Abkhazia, and they pass back and forth, and but they also might have Abkhaz documents, and I mean a lot of them are trying to get international travel documents, or I should not say a lot. I mean people who are trying to get international travel documents. One of the easiest ways to do it is to try and get a Russian passport, but you cannot get a Russian passport if your parents don't have Russian passports, and so many people have absolutely no access to freedom of movement in Abkhazia.
Interesting. Well, let us know if that happens. On Tuesday, the Commissioner for Enlargement and European Neighborhood Policy, Stefan Füle, Minister of European Euro-Atlantic Integration, Alexander Petriashvili, signed a 20 million euro financing agreement that will support key Georgian government and parastatal institutions to undertake reforms in three areas: trade, oversight, and public accountability. And according to the EU-Georgia and coordinating EU-Georgia agreements, this new program builds on the 10 million euros already provided under the 2011 program in support of EU-Georgia agreements. It's a bunch of stuff mostly about food safety standards and technical regulations, that kind of thing. Manana Kobakhidze has left the post of chairperson for Georgian Dream. Kobakhidze said she has too many responsibilities and wants to spend time with her family. No, she says she wants to remain a majoritarian MP and chair of the Gender Council.
Is that in the parliament?
I don't know.
There's like a gender...
There's a Gender Council.
Well,
who knows?
There's the gender advisor that BI had set up, right? So maybe this is all...
She's gendered, so, you know. Yeah, I don't know. There's a Gender Council. So, you know, interesting to hear about that if anybody knows anything.
Do they have more female MPs now than before?
They do.
Like before
they
we had, like, you know,
yeah.
the lowest rate in all OSCE member states.
Oh, really?
Like that? Yeah.
Yeah. No, there are more now. And they said that there were more running as majoritarian candidates and also more included on the party list. But, of course, there were incentives provided to parties to include women on their party list.
You remember, get more money.
Yeah, you could get money if you had, like, I don't remember what
like
it was.
A third
like
a, of
yeah,
women.
And it
something.
Had to be, you know, not all at the bottom,
right.
For example.
Huh. Former head of the Forestry Department, Bidzina Ghirgobiani, who was sentenced to 6 years in abstention in 2005 and was given the status of political prisoner by the current parliament, is back in Georgia after 8 years abroad. He intends to be actively involved in political life. He said that Data Akhalaya, Givi Targamadze, and Vano Medavashvili acted against him in accordance with Misha because he was opposed to money laundering at the Forestry Department. Russia's Federal Investigative Committee today said that it filed criminal charges against Givi Targamadze for allegedly conspiring with Russian opposition activists to plot riots in Moscow.
Yeah, he was like, the accusation is that he had, like, I don't know, $600
like
to finance a revolution in Russia.
Yeah, I don't know. If I know Givi Targamadze, he was waving around $600 in Moscow. It was not for a revolution. But okay, anyway. The management of natural resources will be returned to the Ministry of Environment. From the Ministry of Energy. It was taken away, like, I don't know, a year and a half ago. Accordingly, the Ministry of Environment will be renamed the Ministry of Environment and Natural Resources. Relevant legislative amendments have been submitted to Parliament for discussion. Minister of Justice Thea Tsouloukiani and Yuri Vazagashvili, father of Zura Vazagashvili, who was murdered in May 2006, unveiled a memorial for people who were victims of the 2004-2012 political regime. Vazagashvili said that under the previous government, everyone's life was in danger. He thanked BI and Tsouloukiani and called for representatives of the international community to stop accusing the government of political persecution. You know, fine. But for a government to put up that monument and at the same time oversee the putting up of Stalin monuments, you know.
Yeah.
Wait, but did, also, did it say though that it was? It's in front of the ministry.
It's in front of the public service hall.
Oh, public service hall. Okay, so it's in public. Yeah. It's
what the big monument?
I think so. It might be the ministry.
I thought it was in front of the Ministry of Justice.
I saw a picture, and the picture that I saw on DF Watch was maybe it only showed one side, but it had only the English. Stuff written on it. It didn't have the Georgian. Maybe the Georgian's on the other side, but it looked like it was just an English kind of tombstone.
Huh.
And I don't know, you know, for the people who were victims of the regime, I don't know. I mean, like, you know, like I feel for the parents of the people who were kind of murdered, I mean, and nobody was held accountable for that.
Like Ghirvliani and others. But yeah, a monument, I mean, I don't know. Like, have a monument to Ghirvliani if you want, fine. But, you know, I mean, it's, you know. I mean, it seems like if you're going to do that, if you look at the number of people who were killed under Stalin, you know, that I don't know that, you know, at least have a one-for-one monument agreement or something. Following up on
pink monuments, though.
Speaking of which, following up on last week's story on the Stalin statue that was painted pink, according to a video posted on Facebook, UNM activist Teja Tutberidze claimed responsibility for the vandalism. She said, quote, "I am telling the Georgian government and the interior minister that I am the person who smeared the Stalin monument with paint. I also did it in Gori in 2009. I will continue doing it, and I will blow up the Stalin monument if you return it to Gori."
Maybe she'll do a better job than the government at the time did when they ended up killing two people. Don't you remember when they?
That was when they leveled the
that was in Kutaisi
parliament.
That was in the Kutaisi parliament.
Still
yeah, which
was UNM,
which was a Second World War monument, and it was terrible. And one of them was a kid. You know, I mean,
I thought a kid and his mother. But she is like this little kind of eshmaki, isn't she? I mean, she was the one who put the thing about the. There was that whole thing about Facebook and
videos.
The patriarch
videos.
So she's kind of a little bit radical.
But I mean, like, you know, like she posted a couple of YouTube videos that somebody else had done about that made or insulted the patriarch. And
yeah,
at that point, actually, the government kind of detained like some 17-year-old kid and like took all the computers away for doing that. So that was like the last time we had like kind of a very strong overreaction when it came to posting something online.
Yeah.
I have no love lost for removing Stalin monuments, but I think it's pretty interesting when you look at the way that Georgians kind of understand Stalin and then kind of transfer this also to understanding of the Soviet Union and then also to World War II. And this removal, I mean, I was always shocked. If you go to almost like any village in Georgia, any small town, they have the World War II monument there, which has the names listed of the people that were, you know, lost their lives during the whatever Great Patriotic War, as they call it. And I think... I mean, I remember actually that I went to the presidential library for Jefferson Davis, the president of the Confederacy, and they had there the tomb of the unknown Confederate soldier. And I was incredibly displeased by the fact that that was there. And I thought, you know, they don't deserve to be honored because they're on the wrong side. And like, I was young at the time, and now I've kind of thought very differently about it. But it's interesting because you hear the same type of language coming from people from the national movement who say that, you know, it's worth honoring, you know, they have the eternal flame for the Abkhaz Civil War, but the one for the World War II in Vake Park, the World War II Memorial, I mean, all the copper little like nameplates were stolen, that eternal flame is out, and, you know, it's completely ignored.
Yeah, I mean, the reality of it is that an incredible number of Georgians died in the Second World War. In fact, approximately the same number of Georgians and Americans died in the Second World War. And, you know, even though there was not really any fighting on Georgian territory, I mean, you know, the number certainly when you compare it to, you know, whatever's happened since... you know, indicates that it you know, it's understandable why those would be there. But I mean, just because Stalin happened to be the premier at the time, I don't see why it needs to be. And definitely blowing up that monument in the way that they did it was terrible. I mean, in the end, as I've written before, you know, it's not about the statues. I mean, what matters is let's have a discussion about the Second World War or about, you know, the Abkhaz War or about Stalin, you know, and stealing statues at 2 o'clock in the morning and hiding them in somebody's backyard you know, painting them pink or whatever else. Or putting them back up is not really necessarily going to lead to a productive discussion.
Yeah, although painting them pink I'm still a fan of that.
Yeah, I gotta admit. Okay, fine. Painting and thing, fine.
You know what? And you know what? Last Friday, everybody should have been glittered. No punches, just glitter.
Just a bunch of glitter. Yeah, I know. Next protest, we'll have to remember to bring the glitter. The hardest working NGO in the South Cauc, Transparency International Georgia, announced that VSOIL has stopped selling API Super labeled gasoline. TI Georgia highlighted last year that neither Italian Customs nor the Revenue Service of Georgia had information regarding VSOIL's importing the Italian API Super gasoline between 2009 and 2011. However, VSOIL still sold API oil products in its filling stations, violating consumers' rights laws and illegally using the trademark. 69 Georgian wine and mineral water producing companies have submitted applications to the Russian Sanitary Service to distribute their products on the Russian market. According to the Sanitary Service, all these documents were sent to experts for evaluation. Oh, my God.
There's a very high evaluation fee.
Exactly.
I'm surprised there are 69 companies.
We need to take our time with these documents. These Georgians, you can never tell. The Sanitary Service stated, quote, "Our priorities are set on 31 companies which submitted all the necessary documents, while the evaluation for the other 38 companies will start after they send in the remaining documents." Okay.
Which is an envelope, a sealed envelope.
It's all about the documents. The Revenue Service reported that 223,000 taxpayers owe them money. The total volume of this debt amounts to nearly 4.6 billion lari.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of lari. According to the finance minister, Nodar Khaduri, there were, quote, hundreds or even thousands of firms which were not subject to tax legislation. Khaduri said, quote, "No one disturbed these companies. Most of them had signed tax agreements and were cleaned," end quote, "of their debts."
Including Rustavi Ori, Imedi, and the company that ran Canal Peak for the last year.
Yeah, funny how that works.
There's this stuff about expunging, but they also had a good initiative, I think, the Revenue Service. They kind of basically created this kind of three-tiered system where they said that if you're in a high-risk category, you're going to be audited by the State Audit Service. Automatically, if you're in the middle category, you know, you can put your own documents, but then you have the chance that you might have paid too little or too much or whatever. And then there's kind of the lower category, and you know, there are basically a group of audit companies that had been pre-selected that would perform this service for companies. And I thought it was a very good initiative.
Yeah, but apparently there were several hundred companies, or allegedly, you know, like we know of a few that never had to pay any taxes and nobody ever bothered them over years. And like anybody else would have gone to jail for not paying taxes for a few months. And Imedi and Rustavi too just never bothered, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's whether he's talking about, you know, companies close to the national movement, and we all know about Imedi and Rustavi Ori, to which the former government will say, oh, we were just, you know, look at, you know, Channel 25 in Batumi never would have survived without the tax amnesty, which is a little ridiculous. Really what it was a government subsidy to their, you know, to the companies that worked for them. But, you know, are there other big companies that were controlled by the national movement that had tax arrears that was just a method of subsidy or a way of giving, you know, they were channeling money to the party?
Or, kind of, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, or are they talking about, you know, does this mean, like, you know, we have a list of regular citizens and their businesses that didn't pay taxes and it has nothing to do with politics?
Yeah.
Miners of the Georgian Manganese Company in Chiyoturi went on strike. They demanded the right to take 6 days off and to have their vacation
6 days.
And to have their vacation time increased from 28 to 45 days.
That's a lot of days.
It's a lot of days.
But maybe,
you know,
for a miner.
I say give them half the year off, you know. According to miners, they have had talks with the company over the past several days, but the administration has not even made basic concessions. The situation is complicated by the fact that the company is planning structural changes that will result in job cuts. Miners should be rich, in my view. About 800 employees at the Khashuri Railway Department have gone on strike, demanding salary increases.
There are 800 people at the Khashuri Railway Department.
Yeah. I think maybe the Khashuri Railway Department should just say, you know what?
Maybe some optimization.
Exactly. Time for a little bit of structural changes.
That is a lot, but Khashuri is actually one of the kind of break-off points.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. The central business district of Khashoggi and all their, you know, railway stuff. I mean, it's not, but there's not another railway.
There's one going to Borjomi and one to Kutaisi.
And the road, Zugdidi.
But it's like, it's not that, you know, there's more than four trains a day.
Is there a railway that goes to Borjomi?
Yeah, you can even go up to
Bakuriani.
There's like an old steam thing that goes up.
On Friday, several people were slightly injured in a fire near the Navluji market in Tbilisi in a factory that assembled military uniforms. Pegasus announced a new sale. If you purchase a ticket before February 17th, 3 days from now, a one-way ticket to Istanbul costs 65 euros, while travel to any European city Pegasus operates will cost 105 euros.
And although that sounds like product placement, we're way too incompetent to take any money for any of these flight promotional things.
Yeah, we don't get any money from anybody, actually.
Actually, that's how much it cost me to change my ticket on Pegasus, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. If you do that, do not change your ticket, because that's not going to happen. And remember, if you transfer airports, you're at another airport in Istanbul, you know. Friday was the official opening of the first subsidiary of the Azerbaijani bank Pasha in Georgia.
Doesn't really sound like, what do you do business with Pasha, kind of?
That's totally what it's all about in this town.
Are you kidding me? It's worked for centuries.
And they took over the HSBC building, right?
Exactly.
Right on Rusta Valley.
Exactly, with the incredibly beautiful ironwork right next to it.
But they also got control over the whole gas supply of Georgia. So.
There's that. So, there's you know, yeah, just kiss the ring of the Pasha. Parliamentary news for this week. Today, lawmakers resumed work in Parliament. It was temporarily suspended because of meetings and negotiations regarding constitutional amendments that took place in Tbilisi. Committee on Agrarian Issues began discussing the draft bill on agricultural cooperatives. This initiative aims to create agricultural cooperatives, maybe not surprisingly, to develop agricultural manufacturing and raise competitiveness. For up-to-date information on what's going on in Parliament, sign up for TI Georgia's free text messaging service by going to parliament.transparency.ge/subscribe. Feradi.info published data about the most common and uncommon Georgian names and surnames based on the 2012 voters list. Most common surnames are Beridze, Mamedovi, Kapanadze, Gelashvili, and Alievi. The most common names for women are Nino, Tamar, Maya, Nana, and Keti. For boys, it's Gyorgy, David, Merab, Levan, and Alexandre.
Can I read the most unique ones? Come on.
Oh, okay.
Afhanjali, Tsunzula, Okrokala, Pachula, and Chvechve.
Chvechve is the best.
That's awesome.
These are people there where there's only one person. I also saw, so there's also one person in Georgia that is named Adolfi. And I think
Stalber. I mean, Stalin.
Yes,
Bear,
but Adolfi was on the other side.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, but
you know.
He was probably
must have been one of those like
I don't know. They don't say
representative
it,
one of those
like,
Parisian Gestapo. You know,
I don't think there are not many Stalin Berias in Austria, and hopefully not many Adolfis either.
Not in Texas, days, that's for sure.
I've actually seen World War II. Kind of flyers that were in German that were trying to get Georgians to come to the German side. It was really interesting.
Yeah, and there were some. There were a couple of battalions there.
I just found it interesting.
Presenters on Imedi TV morning show, Salome Gogiashvili and David Katsarava, were fired because of their comments about Elton John's family. After showing a video about his family and surrogate children, Katsarava said, "I'm sincerely sorry for Elton John's surrogate children."
And she was not referring to the music.
Gogiashvili in turn added, "I don't envy these children because when they grow up, they'll have two fathers."
She must not have liked her father.
I guess so. Well, that's, you know, a good little strike for old Elton John there. On Tuesday, Gvonta Nikolaeva, better known as Gvonta Bagrationi, a little-known rap star on the Georgian internet scene, released a music video called Expensive Fantasy, in which she sings, quote, "You dream about me, but you'll never get anything from me," end quote, while she dances provocatively in a bikini and lingerie. It already had, at the time, at the 14th time I watched it today, just before the show, it had 64,000 views on YouTube. Gvonta says she is a big fan of Bera and a member of the Republican Party.
I assume she then has two PhDs, as all Republican Party supporters have.
Constitutional lawyer.
in addition, I love the "you dream" metaphor. You dream about me, but I'm pretty much not going to do anything for you.
Yeah.
But I love Barra.
Barra.
But it's in the tradition of political pop music in Georgia.
Yeah. Utsnobi, Lexeni.
Of course.
Chemi Sakartvelo, Sva Sakartvelo Mita.
Michel Magadiar.
That was really good. You actually did the Utsnobi gestures perfectly. That was impressive. Sorry you can't see that, listeners. This week's GeoCapital number is 5.8, which is the number of indoor cinemas in Georgia per 1 million inhabitants. According to 2009 data from UNESCO, of those indoor cinemas, only two have two or more screens. The highest density of cinemas can be found in the Nordic countries, with between 50 and 60 cinemas per million people. To put it in perspective, the United States has 22 cinemas per 1 million. Other noteworthy countries are France with 35, Germany with 23. In Georgia's neighborhood, Azerbaijan has 1 per million, Russia has 6, Iran has 3, and Turkey has 8. This week's English language movies at the Rustavelli Theater across from Parliament, not the one at Rustavelli Metro, but on Rustavelli Avenue next to the gigantic hole across from Parliament.
The Pioneer House.
Exactly across from the Viceroy's Palace or Youth Palace Pioneer thing. Tomorrow, Friday at 7:45, is Gangster Squad. On Saturday, February 16th, is Les Miserables at 7:40 p.m. and Django Unchained,
the controversial Tarantino movie.
New Tarantino movie at 10:30 p.m. All movies are at 5 Rustavelli Avenue and cost 10 lati and 50 tetri. This week's Kolga movies, this being across from McDonald's and Rustavelli Cinema, costing 7 lari. Friday, tomorrow at 8 p.m. is Pietà, 2012, from South Korea. Tomorrow and Friday, Tbilisi will host an international exhibition on educational issues at the Expo Georgia Exhibition Center. Over 85 organizations will be represented in the exhibition, including universities, colleges, and high schools from 10 countries, UK, Turkey, Italy, Latvia, Lithuania, Malaysia, Poland, Russia, Hungary, and the Czech Republic. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Bravo. Sorry. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email address is tbilpod@gmail.com. Or post to the forum with lots and lots of stuff at our website, www.tbilpod.com. And we will finish with Hot Lunch by Irene Cara from the 1980 movie Fame.